الحمد لله وكفى، الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established for us the straight path. And we are constantly making dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us on the straight path and keep us on the straight path. And the reason that we have such an emphasis on the straight path is because we are headed somewhere. And we would like to reach our destination. However, if we are not on the straight path, we will not reach our destination. Just because we think in the back of our mind that we want to reach a certain destination doesn't make us reach that destination. You have to be on the path that leads to that destination. And if a person deviates from that path, then they end up somewhere distant from that destination. And this is something that, unfortunately, in this day and age, we have greatly misunderstood. We make the assumption that because I want to be on the straight path, I will end up where I'm supposed to be. Or if I bend the straight path, it'll be fine. I'll still end up where I need to get to. But the reality is that this straight path is very straight. And it leads to a very particular place. And the only way to get to that place is to maintain the straight path. We are so fortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this straight path very clear to us through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa radu an that followed him, and the Tabi'een, the Taba Tabi'een, and subsequently the pious predecessors. Now, one of the reasons that we place such an emphasis on following the path of our pious predecessors and on the knowledge and that which is established by the pious predecessors is because they were on the straight path. And our goal is to reach that path and to maintain that path, because that path points in a certain direction. I'll just give you, it's very simplistic, but unfortunately it's very often misunderstood. I'll give you a simple example. Maybe for the last 3, 4, 5 months, we have been working on the architectural plans for the masjid project that, you know, all of you are aware of. And it's interesting because we began drawing the architectural plans over a year ago. So over a year ago, we made the architectural plans. Then we went through and got some changes to the actual zoning of the land. And so we had to redraw the architectural plans. And then we got permission to add a part of a building that we needed. And then we rechanged the plans. Then we got permission again to do something a little bit more. And then we rechanged the plans. Literally, I think we probably redrawn the plans. These are not detailed plans. These are very, very simplistic plans, you know. But literally, the plan has undergone an evolution such that we've probably gone through 5 to 7 renditions. Not renditions of one plan, meaning there was 5 variations on plan A, then we finally got to plan B, then there were 5 to 10 variations on plan B, then we got to plan C. So we're probably at plan, I don't know, E or F. You can ask Hafiz Sayyid what plan we're on. But anyway, so let's just say we're on rendition F. Rendition F has its sub-variations, variation 1, variation 2, variation 3, variation 4. Okay, so 1 year, you know, we've been going through this back and forth, and part of it was to just establish ourselves in the community and to achieve the appropriate permission from the village, and you know, also to look at the demographics of what's possible, look at the land, look at the soil, all these complexities that are involved. Anyway, we finally came to the point where we said, okay, this is right, this is what should be done, this is what we have permission to do, this is what would also be the most feasible for the community and for the finances, whatever it might be. So we began to draw up the plan, and we had an external person in the community helping, and we spent a lot of time on that plan. And then as we're going through the final finishing touches on the plan, you know, we have a checklist that let's make sure this is done, let's make sure this is done, let's make sure this is done, let's double check this, double check this, double check this. So in the double checking process, we find out that just a couple days ago, we find out that the Qibla wall is off by, I don't know, 6 or 7 degrees. Okay, here, look at my hand. This is 6 or 7 degrees. This is straight, this is 6 or 7 degrees. You can't even notice the difference, right? So that, let's say this is the Qibla wall. When you take the Qibla wall and you make it 6 or 7 degrees this way, you would not even be able to tell with your eye. Okay, so you're off 6 or 7 degrees, not a big deal. So you bend the Qibla wall 6 or 7 degrees and it's nothing major. The problem is then when you get to the back of the building, because that distance increases as you get to the back of the building, when you bend the back of the building, the whole thing bends like extreme. You know, not like a little. The whole wall bends like this. The doors get messed up. The bathroom gets messed up. The staircase gets messed up. And then I'm looking at this and I'm saying, subhanAllah, a tiny variation of 6 or 7 degrees from the point here, you know, which is, let's say, the present, makes such a huge difference when you move 200 feet that way, or 100, in this case, it's like 150 feet that way. It becomes so glaringly obvious that it's knocking staircases out, it's knocking the bathroom out. And I'm just looking at this and I'm saying, subhanAllah, this is the exact thing that happens to a human being. See, human beings, what they do is, they recognize they have to be on the straight path, and then they make a firm commitment to be on the straight path, realizing that this straight path decision today is leading to Jannah 60 years from now. Right? The distance here isn't in feet, the distance is in time. So the person makes a decision to be on the straight path today, and they make, if they make a minor deviation from that path, that minor deviation seems like nothing. You know, okay, today I make a decision. I normally have a routine to do A, B, and C, but I'm going to make this small deviation. But the problem is what is a small deviation today, 50 years, 60 years down the line, totally throws you off. So that you were supposed to end up here, and you end up way off, far away from where you wanted to be. And that's exactly the reality of who we are. We make decisions today, and they seem minuscule. But the reality is that they are guiding us on a vector. Now, if that vector is straight, then you end up in the straight line. But if there's even the slightest deviation from that vector, then what ends up happening is it has an effect that it was far beyond what you ever imagined slowly over a period of time. Slowly over a period of time. I mean, just, you know, look historically, look at the examples. So there were, when mankind was placed on the earth, When mankind was placed on the earth, there was no worship of idols. There was no worship of idols. There was just the worship of Allah. Right? And then what happened was, you know, sure, there's a story to that, but eventually there was the worship of Allah that was established on the planet. And then what happened was there were groups of people. They were extremely pious. They were worshiping Allah. And then pious people among them passed away. And when pious people among them passed away, they felt bad. And when they felt bad, they said, you know, we need to honor this particular pious person. So why don't we honor this pious person by making this memory of this pious person, right? And then eventually what happened is they make a memory. Then 50 years later, 100 years later, then the people say, no, we shouldn't have a memory. Let's do something more. We have a memory for everybody. But now we have even a more pious person, so we should make something more. Until eventually what happens 500,000-700,000 years later, then people start making idols, right? Then they become comfortable with the worship of something other than Allah until eventually they become idols. Do you think that a person who is deeply pious and a population that is deeply pious wakes up one day and says, hey, let's make an idol? That doesn't happen. Nobody takes a 180-degree deviation from the path that they're on. What happens is, person's on a particular path, they make a slight adjustment. Then the next generation makes another slight adjustment. Then the next generation makes another slight adjustment. Until finally, what happens is 1,000 years later, there's idols in the Kaaba. 2,000, 5,000 years later, there's idols in the Kaaba. And then what happens? Then you're at a time when the only way by which the entire humanity can actually be shifted, the whole Qibla wall has to be shifted. The whole Qibla has to be shifted so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a prophet. Whether that prophet be Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we know historically that each of the prophets came, they came at a time when, the reviving prophets with their books, I should say, came at a time when there was no hope for humanity. The only way to shift their focus towards the Qibla, the only way to shift their focus towards Allah was for a prophet to come to rejuvenate them completely. Like the coming of Isa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, etc. Alright? So what happens is when we make minor decisions, when we make decisions that we deem minor, they actually are not so minor if they are not taking us towards the straight path. Because that path is one, and that vector is one, and that vector is very long. It'll have a huge effect in the back if you don't fix it in the front. Like, for example, if a person makes a decision, you know, they say that, or a person makes a minor decision in their life, they say that, you know what, I'm going to, just so that I can get to work a little bit earlier, I'm going to leave my routine today. Let's say they have a routine. The routine is to recite one juz every morning. Okay, now they're in a little bit of a rush, so one day they make a decision, I'm going to leave my routine. So they turn a little bit away from that. What happens? Next 2 days they do their routine. The third day, the fourth day, they again skip their routine. Next 5 days they do their routine. The sixth day, they again skip their routine. Now what happens? It's becoming easier to skip the routine. A year from then, the person leaves the routine completely. And slowly, things become unraveled. And when things become unraveled, it wasn't because of an immediate decision, it was because of a minor decision. That's why, you know, they say in the deen, there is no minor decision. Like they say, there is, like people say, what are the major sins, what are the minor sins? They say there is no minor sin. Because minor sin eventually deviates towards a major sin. Minor sin eventually deviates towards a major sin. Once a person becomes comfortable, let's say lying is, let's just say, you know, for example, let's say that lying is a minor sin. Let's just say that. So once a person becomes comfortable with lying, then they become comfortable with the things that are associated with lying, meaning then they can go do things and lie about where they were, etc., etc., etc. So we are people who are on the straight path, and one of the requirements for maintaining the straight path is an absolute commitment to that path without any deviation. Now sure, a lot of times things are not in one's control. Those things can't be controlled anyway. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make up for those. Our scholars have told us when we do something that is not in our control, or when we're not able to do as much as we want to because it's not in our control, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always fill in the defect to allow a person to maintain themselves on that path. But if we begin to deviate in what seems to be minor, then we should remember that this path is not about where we are today. Yes, a 5-degree deviation, a 7-degree variation for today goes from here to here. You can't tell. But 50 years down the line, it leads us in a totally different direction. It leads us in a totally different direction. So one of the important things about being on the straight path is a constant recalibration towards that path. You know, ask yourself the question, why do we say dozens of times a day, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ? Dozens of times a day we make this dua. It would be sufficient. Why not make it once a week? Why not make it once a day? Why not make it once in a lifetime? Why not make it once a year? Why do we have to make it dozens of times a day? Because when a person makes dua, dua is an assessment of where we are and where we want to be. You know, a person raises their hands and say, oh Allah, grant me offspring. Why does a person raise their hand and say, oh Allah, grant me offspring? They make that dua because they're thinking about the fact that they don't have offspring. And they're seeing that they want to reach the point that they have offspring, right? So when a person makes a dua, it's a reflection of what exists behind with a goal of where they want to be in the future. That's essentially the nutshell, right? In a dua. Obviously, there's emotion and there's substance to it, but that's really the reality. A person sees where they are behind and wants to be someone where they are forward. When a person makes dua, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, you know, guide us on the straight path, it's a conscientious cognizance of where they are and where they want to be. Which means that the person who's making that dua is really basically making the dua to be recalibrated constantly. That's how much it requires to measure. Simplistically, when you're building a building, now, not that I have any experience building this, but I'm seeing and talking to people who do this, they have these people, surveyors and all this, that are constantly measuring every inch. They make a big deal. They say that, just give you an example. I showed the plans to one architect, and there were 6 inches missing, okay? 6 inches. 6 inches were not accounted for. 6 inches in a what was the span? Like a 70-foot span. There were 6 inches unaccounted for. The person went ballistic. He went ballistic. He started saying, how could you let these 6 inches go? Don't you know that 6 inches means so much? It matters so much. Why didn't this person catch this? Why didn't this person catch this? I'm just looking at it. I'm thinking 6 inches. 6 inches, what difference does it make? But that's the people who do this, they recognize that even 6 inches makes a difference. You can't let 6 inches go. Even 6 inches make a difference. Everything has to constantly be recalibrated. And it's funny, as these guys go back and forth and they're talking, everybody's constantly talking about measurements and calibrations, and every step of the way, they're checking. Now, eventually what will happen, there'll be these plans, right? And these plans will be submitted to the workers, and then the workers have to begin to do the work. Then what happens? There's a guy who oversees. You know, there's a person who oversees all the workers. What do? They run around with the plans and they remeasure everything to make sure that everything is exactly the way it was laid out in the plans. Because if one wall deviates this way, the rest of the whole, all the walls will begin to deviate. So again, same principle, which is that a person who is trying to achieve a specification that's already pre-existent needs to constantly calibrate what they're doing. So if a Muslim is trying to achieve a goal, which is Jannah, which is already, the path of which has already been laid out by the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sahaba, Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, pious predecessors, then they have to constantly recalibrate. Which means that dozens of times a day, despite the fact that they're making an effort, they have to again ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And this is so important that the people who are making it are the people who are traveling on the path. Look, there's a group of 50 people that come to the masjid to pray Isha. They're the ones that are saying, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ in Jama'ah. And the whole Jama'ah is saying, Ameen. Just think about it. They're the one, they should be saying, guide the other people towards the straight path. If you're sitting in the masjid praying behind the imam, then the dua, the rational dua would be, guide the rest of the community on the straight path. But the dua is not that. The dua is, guide us on the straight path. Why? Because we need to be recalibrated. If there's a half a degree deviation and then we travel that deviation for dozens of years, we won't end up at the point that we're trying to get to, which is Jannah. So we are blessed with a path. See, when somebody gives you a plan, like the architect gives you a plan, then that plan, the blessing of that plan is you can now follow that plan and you can construct exactly the way the plan is laid out. You don't have to do any work. When Sahaba give us the plan, which is the Sunnah, that look, here is the plan to Jannah. Here's a map. Here's the route. This is how you get there. This is exactly what you need to do to get there. In this complex life, where the ground is constantly shifting, ideologies are constantly moving, people are coming and going, there's so much movement. You know how hard it is to figure out where you're going, what you're doing, what the goals are, where you want to end up. But we are so fortunate that the exact plans were handed to us. We don't have to do a thing. Rasulullah SAW, with his foresight and ability to see exactly what was coming based on his taqwa and that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him, we have been already warned of the difficulties that were to come. And we've been told what? Bite these plans even if they be with the back teeth. Hold on to the sunnah of Rasulullah SAW, how you would hold on with your back teeth. What's the strongest muscle in the body? The strongest muscle in the body, ounce for ounce, is the jaw. That's the strongest muscle in the body. It's funny because if you would say hold on to the straight path, you would say hold on to the straight path even if it means with your two hands. But actually the Prophet ﷺ says hold on to the sunnah even if it means with the muscle of the back teeth, meaning the muscle of the jaw, which is the strongest muscle in the body. So we as people who have been given the straight path, we have to be cognizant of that path. And we cannot deviate from that path even in the smallest way. People are very comfortable in this day and age. They say, times have changed, we are changed. Times have changed, we have not changed. The premise of our deen remains the same. Sure, things remain different. Today you wear cotton, tomorrow you wear, I don't know, polyester, whatever it might be, the fabrics change. But the path remains the same. The path remains the same. It's already, the major principles have already been established by the Prophet ﷺ, Sahaba, Tabi'in, Tabi'a Tabi'in, and that path is already outlined. And if a person wants to succeed, they have to calibrate themselves exactly on that path. You know the famous incident when Hazrat Ali radiallahu an was riding, was mounted on his animal, and he passed by a particular area. And, you know, in one instance, he began smiling. On another instance, he began, you know, turning his head in a certain way. Both circumstances were questioned. Why did you smile when there was nothing to smile about? Why did you turn your head in a certain way when there was nothing to duck or dodge? In both instances, the response was, I saw the Prophet ﷺ do this at this point. I saw the Prophet ﷺ do this at this point. That was their love. But it was also their calibration on the path. That whatever they did, whatever he did, they deemed it as a means of maintaining that calibration on that path. And there's numerous examples of that. There's numerous examples of that. So we are a people who have been blessed. We have been given the path. And the further we move away historically, the more it becomes necessary to maintain that path. The more it becomes necessary to maintain that path if we want to stay on that same vector. And it's not that hard in this day and age. It is difficult in this day and age, but it's clear. It's very clear. The hadith are clear. The sunnah is clear. The scholars are clear. And that's the path that we have to maintain. And it applies to many things. It applies to doing good and avoiding bad and, you know, prescribing good and prescribing the avoidance of bad. In every angle, we have to maintain that path. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to recognize that small deviations from the path lead to very far distance from the goal. And we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are constantly guided on the straight path. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.